You may be seated. Good morning. I'm glad you are here today. Glad we get an opportunity to be together, to study, to sing. Brian, I appreciate your leading us in this. I know it's a challenge to sing with masks and to be expressionative and involved, but I encourage you. Let's try to break out of our norms. I read recently of a church that is trying to blend these two worlds. They've got many people that are online, many people that are coming back to services just like us, and so I'm thankful for those that are watching this morning online with us right now or later today. They were trying to encourage people as they were gathering together and blending those two worlds, and so they said next Sunday was going to be Zoom business attire. And come in your Zoom business outfits, wearing a nice shirt or tie on the top, and then your sweats or shorts underneath. And it was kind of a comical scene as that was looking coming together. I don't know how time has been going for you, but it has been a challenging time, hasn't it? The weather right now is difficult for many. Some of the restrictions, again, that we continue to deal with is a challenge. But I want to start off this morning. We are going through Nehemiah. We are talking about God and God's time. And I want us to realize this first principle. God wins. God wins. There is no deliberation. There is no question about how this is all going to wrap up. God wins. I don't know that we're all on the same page. I'm going to say this one more time, and you let me know if I'm on the right page too. God wins. Amen. Now, we get to choose our side. We get to choose what we are going to believe, what we are going to participate, what we are going to do with our time. Nehemiah was a man who heard this devastating news about more than a century's worth of rubble. This city had been in ruin. He hears this. He laments. He's frustrated with what has been taking place. He is in exile. He is not living in the lap of luxury. He is a servant to the king and not even his own king. But he recognizes that God wins. And so he set forth in this path of reclaiming what God had described to be a great place. And so he goes to work on rebuilding this great wall. I want to challenge you this morning to recognize that in our life, you are going to face roadblocks and obstacles. You are going to find yourself in the pit of despair. You are going to see frustrations and chaos come along. That is not because our God is weak. Our God wins. Now choose your side. Get up and get going. This is the last Sunday in January 2022. We have almost completed 1/12 of our year. What are we going to do for God that God has called us to do that we have neglected to do? Choose your side. Let's get involved. Let's stop living in excuses. Let's stop living with worries and fears. Let's be individuals for God that do great things. This morning, I want to challenge us to recognize this principle that God wins. The second thing I want you to see is that time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. It'd be a great song, wouldn't it? I'm a songwriter. I'm not a singer. I'm a songwriter. Time keeps on ticking. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you just put your car, your nice, workable car, you just set it out in the pasture. And you leave it there for a couple of months. Guess what's going to happen to your car? It's going to get dirty. It probably will not run as well. Your tires may start to crack. Your tubes or pipes or whatever, your wires are starting to loosen. There's corrosion that's taking place. Your car is going to wear down. You leave a ship in dock.
it is going to be succumbing to the effects of life in short order. Time keeps on ticking, and things seem to wear down and break down. But I don't know why, but I'm going to point at me real quick. I sometimes don't understand this. I mean, I see it in other things, but I don't see it in myself. That if I neglect, don't laugh at this, but if I neglect the gym, some things start to wear down. If I neglect my relationships, some things start to wear down. If I neglect taking care of my home, things start to wear down. If I neglect my relationship with God, things start to wear down. Have you ever noticed it happens in other things, but do you fail to see that it happens in your own life? I'm speaking to you individually. I want you to recognize that there's something you can do that is important and significant, and it involves getting up and taking action this morning. When our choices, our motivations, our desires, our goals even start to wear down, we need to draw attention to where we are. Jesus says, take the plank out of your own eye before you try to remove the speck in someone else's eye. So this morning, I'm asking us to look at ourselves. What have we neglected to do? What are we failing to accomplish in life? Can I get one volunteer to come up here? I'm not going to hurt you or pick on you. TJ, if you want to be my volunteer. I'll get you next time. Now, did you ever have chore lists? And then your parents would give you, what do we call that? The allowance. All right? Never had that. Well, TJ, today is your lucky day. This is why we come to church. Now, here's your one task for the day.
All right.
I want you to take the trash out.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Sure.
All right, now your allowance is going to be $24.
All right.
Put your hand out. Now, don't take this. Now, every hour that you don't take the trash out, when are you going to take your trash out? I'm sorry, what? Right now. All right, so there's your 24 to take the trash out. Let me just say that Sunday and Monday, I want you to take the trash out, and I want you to clean the kitchen. Here's another $24. When are you going to take the trash out? When are you going to clean the kitchen? Right now. Now, what if I said on top of that 48, there's 53, 58, 63, 68, 88, 108, 28, 148, 168. To do the chores for this week. But every hour that he doesn't, I'm going to pull back one of those bills. When are you going to do those tasks? Right now. We know that, don't we? Thank you. You didn't get anything for all that. I appreciate that. We all know right now is the right time. But how many of us have lived already in 2022... with 168 hours in our hand each week, and we didn't get up and get going to the tasks that were supposed to be done that week? We said, God, you know what? I would rather wait till it's just a little bit warmer. God, I would rather wait until somebody else takes the job. God, I would rather wait. And we let dollar after dollar and hour after hour go by from our time. Nehemiah is a guy who says, this is the time that we will take action. This is the way that we will move. And God is bringing the resources. He sees God blessing, and he's even more convinced that he's going to take work, that he's going to get involved, that he's going to be in this moment. Now, I want us to understand that it is our job, it is our responsibility to start pointing to God's desire to restore. that he will give the success. If we look around, if we understand that things are wearing down, things are falling apart within ourselves, within our world, within those that are around us, it is our job to point to God's desire to bring redemption, restoration, to bring things back to the place that they were to be. That marriages, we have to work to improve. Relationships between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, or however, we have to work to improve that. We have to infuse this desire of God's principle and what is right and what is good, and we have to get to work in all of this. If you look into our neighborhoods, if you look into our worlds, the things that are going on in our world require that we are going to be individuals who are going to see that God is going to win and we are going to choose the right side. We understand that over time, things are going to decline. They're going to wear out. They are going to wear down, and we need people who are going to point to the things of God and his desire for restoration and improvement. This is significant for our lives. No longer are we going to be individuals who sit quietly, who wait patiently. We are going to be involved in the work that God has called us to do, that we are going to point to God's desire. And I want us to notice a couple of things. Number one, that one point is very good. That it doesn't take much just for someone to stand up and say, I am going. God is directing us. This is what we should do. It is a point in life. It gives an anchor. It gives stability. It's a rallying point for others to get involved with. Let me tell you that one point is pretty significant. I asked a young lady out one time. She said yes. That's pretty significant in my life. There's one thing that's important right now. Nehemiah, his first one thing was talking to the king. He was nervous. He was anxious. There was some sort of delay in his life, and he didn't know exactly how to proceed. Maybe he needed to get his game plan in order. Maybe he needed to get his confidence in order, but it was that one thing, and so he finally has this conversation, and the king says, yes. I wonder if we will be men and women who will tackle that one thing today. Or maybe it is two points. We're going to point to the restoration of God. We are going to bring direction both then and now. We are going to be individuals who declared that God is at work in my life and I'm going to proceed. And now today I'm involved. Not only did she say yes when I asked her out, she said yes when I asked her to marry me. Those two points make a line in my life. They make significance in my life. They changed my world. I want us to understand that it is important for us, not only once, but again, to point to the God's desire to bring restoration. Nehemiah does that. He speaks to the king. The king equips him, gives him the letters, and prepares him for this journey. He travels to Jerusalem, and he finds the place just as he imagined. The walls are in total destruction. And for 3 days, he traveled around inspecting, gathering information before he ever spoke. And there, once again, he gathers the people, and he presents the plan. Are we going to be individuals? Not just on the day of our baptism, but in the midst of things wearing down in our lives or around our lives, are we going to be people who speak about God, who act for God in this world? Now, many points will make a solid line. Many points that we continue to give to God for his glory create a solid line of faith, of life, of action. She said yes when I asked her to go out on a date. She said yes when I asked her to marry. But if there wasn't any more yeses to, hey, would you help me with this task? Hey, would you move with me to North Carolina? Hey, would you, if all of those became no's, we don't have a solid line of life and relationship. Nehemiah continues to see that this is part of his life. He faces this guy named Sanballat who continues to bring opposition, who brings frustration to the people. They are seeing the task and they were already overwhelmed. But now as he brings pressure, now as he brings the idea of war or retaliation, they are living in fear. He sees the deficiency in God's people to obey. And as you read over and over through Nehemiah. It's not just the task of the wall. It's the people and their oppression. It's the people and their fear. It's the people and their obedience. And Nehemiah continues over and over and over again to be an individual who says, my God desires to restore. My God desires to redeem. My God desires for things to get better. And my God can do that. So I'm going to get to work on that. If you open up your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, look at this great introduction of the story. This is chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Nehemiah chapter 2 says this. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as of yet, I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. And I also said to them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the officials, heard about it, they mocked and they ridiculed us. What is this that you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? And I answered them by saying, look what he says in verse 20. And I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. You see that confidence? You see that purpose? You see that direction that Nehemiah has? He comes right to the point of giving God the direction of his life. And I wonder how many times we, through our inactions, let dollar after dollar, hour after hour, day after day slip by, when even some of the youngest among us know we should do those tasks right away. We should get to work on the things that God has called us to do right away. But many of us will delay because we have not first chosen to be on God's side. Maybe we don't even fully believe that God is going to win, because right now it doesn't seem like God is winning. The walls are in disarray. My life is crumbling down. My job is not going the way that I would like it. My relationships are not improving. And so how can you say to me that God will win? Because we've forgotten the first principle. We forget to reevaluate what is happening in our world. We believe that one point is going to fix all the problems, it's going to solve all the situations. But Nehemiah finds himself in great trouble and trial. If you flip over to Nehemiah chapter 5, you hear once again just another example of Nehemiah. Not the wall this time. Nehemiah chapter 5, starting in verse 6, it says, then I heard their outcry and these charges, and I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind, and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them. And I said, as far as possible, we bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. They keep quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of the Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain, but let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields and vineyards, their olive groves and houses, and also the interest that you are charging them. 1% of the money, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. We will give it back, they said. And we will not demand anything more of them. And we will do as you say. And then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and the officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way, may God shake out of their house and possessions anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken and emptied. And the whole assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did as they promised. One man who sees things wearing down, who believes that God is going to win, who believes that they can take action to bring or to help restoration. Are we that type of people today? Or will you let one more day go by in which you will neglect the things that you know you ought to do? The good that you should do, you could do. The neighbor that you could reach out to. The individual that is sick or in struggle and trouble. Will you let that phone call be delayed one more day? Will you live in fear or an apathy just one more minute? Do you hear the God? The God of creation who brings all things into perfect harmony. The God of redemption who brings his Son to this earth, who says, I am going to cover over all these sins with my Son's blood. And I will see you as a new creature. And you will be white. You will be whiter than snow. Will you live like that today? Or will you hide out like many of the people in Nehemiah's story, who live in the rubble, in the trash, and the disgrace? Or will we rise up to be the priests, to be the royal nation, to be the ambassadors, to be the light, to be the salt that God has called us to be? You see, Nehemiah's story challenges us to understand something significant about ourselves. God wins. But we get to choose which side we're going to be on. Things are going to wear down, even after great progress has been made. One day soon, that auditorium is going to be completed. But before long, that auditorium is going to need a new coat of paint. After a few years, it's going to need some new carpet. There will be repairs that have to be made to that. After we've used this building, this room, for quite some time, there's updates and changes and restoration that need to be brought in here as well. The same thing is true for our lives. Will you let God lead you and guide you? Or do you let one more day slip by? We're about to sing this song. That's why we praise Him. Because Nehemiah knew from the outset that God was going to win. Nehemiah knew that whatever he was about to offer or to put into the game was insignificant compared to the gain or the blessing that God was going to bring his way. Nehemiah knew that God is going to win, and that's why we praise him. The storm is just another example of God's greatness as he delivers us through that. The storm is just another example of God's greatness as he protects us from all of these things. The storm in our lives is not an example that God is losing, but that God is going to work and provide and bless us. That's why we praise him. Let's stand together and make that known.